T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now we go to the hotline and we'll welcome in from NBC Sports Boston. He covers the Patriots for them, at Phil A. Perry on Twitter. Hopefully I'm saying that right. It's Phil Perry who joins us on the show tonight. Phil, thanks for joining us, friend.
Ken, you nailed the Twitter handle. Absolutely
yes.
Nailed it. I appreciate
yes.
it. Thank you.
Yes, damn it, yes. All right, I need you to entertain me, and I want to ask you a very serious question. If Tom Brady and the Patriots win the Super Bowl on Sunday, that will be the 6th for Tom Brady. Is it him or Michael Jordan as the greatest professional athlete ever? Or at least, which
wow.
one would you take over him? Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Hot stuff.
What a question right off the bat. It's such a difficult thing to do because I think Jordan dominated games in ways that Brady simply can't because he's off the field for 50% of the time. I would say this. The argument for Brady is that he's done it with a different cast of characters just about every time he's won the Super Bowl. And when you look at Jordan, there was so much consistency there. Yes, Brady has Belichick year after year after year, and that is incredibly valuable. But for Jordan to have Phil Jackson, Scottie Pippen, it felt like the core there was relatively similar year after year. And Brady's won Super Bowls without Gronk. He's about to take one on without Julian Edelman. He won back in the day when they had no offensive weapons and he really wasn't close to the player he is today. I still think you probably have to go to Jordan if you put a gun to my head, Ken. But but Brady's in that conversation now, which is incredibly fascinating because it's moved from, okay, who's the better quarterback, Brady or Montana, Brady or Manning, who's the best dynasty football-wise, and it seems to have morphed into this now sports wide discussion when you're talking about Brady because he's just accomplished everything there is to accomplish in the NFL.
Brady's already there. It would put him right there in that stratosphere with Michael Jordan, though, is basically a sports deity. I want to go back to last week, Phil. I thought that it was quintessential Brady just because he's gotten to this point now. He's played a very long time. And he's 40 years old, and you have guys there who are playing defense against him. They were small children when he won his first Super Bowl. Is this a guy who is so, at least his status is so big, that he can win games based on his aura, that we all believe that he's going to win, and even the guys that are playing against him, they grew up watching him, so they even believe that he's going to get over on him?
I think there is something to this. I think Belichick factors into the equation, too, because it's not just the players on the field that look at Brady and they say, oh, my God, that's Tom Brady. If he has a chance at the end of the game, he's going to win this thing. I think you have coaches on the sidelines opposite from Belichick, and they look across the way and they say, what kind of adjustment do I need to make? And then what kind of adjustment do I need to make off of that adjustment that I was initially thinking about? Because Belichick is always going to have an answer for me. So I think coaches outthink themselves. I think players at times outthink themselves when they're on the field because there is that, whether you call it an aura, a Patriots mystique, or whatever term you want to use, there is certainly something there because teams know the Patriots aren't going to beat themselves. You have to beat them. And I think that actually dupes opposing teams into beating themselves, whether it's mismanaging the clock, it's the play calling gets all kinds of funky. I mean, just look at that AFC Championship game last week. The way the Jaguars handled the second half, it makes you, if you're a Jaguars fan, I mean, you've got to be ripping your hair out because the number of times they just plowed Leonard Fournette into the line of scrimmage on first down, and then on second down, heaved it deep down to the field for a low percentage throw, and then on third down, they're looking at third and long. That was essentially the entire fourth quarter when they had a chance to put the thing away, and they couldn't do it. So I think teams do psych themselves out because it's the Patriots.
Phil Perry joining us at Phil A. Perry on Twitter, covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston. Is Gronk going to play on Sunday?
I believe he will. I do not know that for a fact, and I don't think even the Patriots know that for a fact because it's not in their hands. It's not Rob Gronkowski's hands. It's not in his family's hands, which it has been at times when it comes to this player and the injuries that he's endured over the years. This is now into the NFL's concussion protocol, and there are clear steps that you have to pass as you maneuver through this thing. It's a five-step process. I would say the fact that he's back at practice is a good sign, because that means he's into now the fourth step, which allows players to practice and just not participate in the contact aspects of practice, whether that's with players or tackling dummies or blocking sleds. That's not something that he would be allowed to do at this point, because he has not yet been fully cleared. But once he's fully cleared, that's the next step. If he's fully cleared, he can not only participate in contact in practice, but he'd be cleared for the next game. And again, this is something that the team's head physician will have to sign off on, and then it's really out of the team's hands after that, because then an independent neurological consultant would also have to give him the okay. I would say the way he's progressed thus far, the fact that he is four steps into this five-step process, would be an indication that he's likely to play, but it's really hard to say until he's fully gotten past these concussion symptoms.
If the Eagles were to win, how would they do it against a team that you've covered all year?
You have to pressure Brady, and you have to do it consistently, and you have to do it late into the game. What the Patriots have been really good at over the years, you can go back to last year's Super Bowl. You could go back last week to the AFC Championship game against some pretty good fronts. If you can get to Brady early, that's one thing. But you have to be prepared to pass rush 50, maybe 60. Last year's Super Bowl, I think he dropped back 70 times or so. You have to be prepared and be conditioned well enough to handle that kind of workload if you're a defensive end or a defensive tackle who's trying to make Tom Brady's life a living hell. And I think the Eagles are actually well-equipped to do something like that, because they're so deep up front. The Jaguars last week, the Patriots really only had to worry about four or five pass rushers at most. The Eagles go seven or eight deep. And so even if Brady does drop back 60 times, because they are as deep as they are, they should be fresher later into the game. And that's why I think it'll be a closer game than some Patriots fans are thinking, at least, Ken. The sense that I've gotten is that people think this is going to be a blowout. Nobody believes in Nick Foles. I'm not sure that the line is big enough right now. I think the Patriots will win. I think they'll win by five or more. I think it's going to be between a five and seven. But I do think the Eagles will keep it relatively close because they are so deep up front.
Phil Perry joining us on the show. Did you believe that there was tension possibly between Brady and Belichick or whatever within the front office and some of the players? And do you think that that's been alleviated because of the amount of winning that they've done to get to the postseason and now going into the Super Bowl in Minnesota?
Well, the relationship between Brady and Belichick has always been a professional one. These aren't guys that are hanging out in Nantucket in the summertime. They're not spending time on Bill Belichick's boat, just rehashing the season and smoking cigars and thinking about all they've accomplished together. It's a very professional relationship, and I think it's continued to be that despite some of these reports that have come out. I will say this, it's been a different year for Tom Brady, in that we have seen more and more, and it extends to these Facebook videos that we're now getting that feature Brady's work off the field. He has been more about his own brand this year than he ever has been before. And for somebody like Bill Belichick, whose foundation as a coach and for what every team he wants to be is that the team comes first, that you're stronger, as a sum of parts as opposed to, any one or two superstars, I think that would probably rub Belichick the wrong way, but I don't think it's impacted how they've worked together. I think that has been pretty consistent through the years.
Phil Perry joining us on the show. Does he ever open up to you guys, Belichick, ever?
Occasionally, yeah. It's a good question, because people see what they see in the press conferences, and I get that is certainly the majority of our interactions with Bill Belichick. But I would say two things. Number one is, if you get him in a setting where he's pretty comfortable, and you can tell he's feeling pretty good about the week on a Friday morning when most of the game planning work has been completed, and if he's feeling good about his matchup that week, you can get him going on some really interesting topics about his own career and his history, his personal history coming up through the league, any football-specific X's and O's kinds of topics. At that point in the week, he's usually very open and expansive at times, and he's taught me, and I know a lot of my colleagues, a lot about the game. And there are occasions where you'll get him off to the side, and he's a much different guy than he is when he's on camera at the podium. I will say that. He's funnier. He's very open talking about topics that you may not have thought he was okay talking about initially, and some of that may be off the record. It may not be. And so there are times where he lets his guard down. It's rare, I would say, for sure. But there are those times he is human, even with us in the media. I think there are moments where he shows that he does respect the job that we do, and he does actually try to help us out. As crazy as that may sound, I think he does do that from time to time.
30 seconds. How much longer for Tom Brady?
I'm pegging it at 43. So this is his 40-year-old season. I think he's got three more in him, and I think at that point, I'm thinking. Now this is a dangerous proposition when you're talking about Tom Brady, but I'm thinking at that point, he will have declined to the point and he will have accomplished enough in his own eyes that he's okay with walking away. I know the number 45 has been thrown out there, and maybe the passion will still burn as brightly as it does right now then, but I think at 43, he will still be a good quarterback. He may not be among the best, and I think I don't think he's a guy that we're going to see hang around until he's the 17th or 18th best quarterback in the league. Like he said, he'll retire when he sucks. I think sucks for him means slightly below Pro Bowl level. Like, I just think that's the standard for him. So I'm saying 43.
Phil, thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
All right, Ken. Thanks a lot, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.